Well, it's good to see those who are out with us tonight, and some who weren't feeling well enough to be out this morning but are back with us. I'm feeling a little bit better. I think my voice is a little bit stronger, but that doesn't mean I think I'm going to preach longer tonight. Matter of fact, it may even be shorter. You'll need to have your Bibles open for this. I apologize, there's still no PowerPoint. I'll tell a funny story. Don't always believe a video when you first see it. When Marvin and I looked at that video about replacing my car battery, it was only 3 minutes and 30 seconds. Thought, this is going to be easy. The end of the video went, oops, I just broke the negative terminal, and the video ends. But it was still uploaded as the tutorial on how to replace the car battery. Took a little bit longer than 3 minutes and 30 seconds. But I'm grateful to him for his help this afternoon on that and getting it back together. So, again, just a PSA. Don't always believe a video when you first see it and watch it all the way through. Tonight I want to talk to you for just a few moments about the idea of renewing our mind. Over in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, passages that are familiar to us because they're our memory verses, I want to read them from the New American Standard. Paul says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Even in today's society, our quality of life is determined by the quality of our thinking. If you think about it, as people start to lose their faculties and they start being unable to remember things, the quality of life goes down a lot of times for different reasons. And sometimes they have to be moved to a place that can be cared for because of that. And so sometimes we judge the quality of our life by the quality of our mind and our thinking. We can make drastic changes in our lives simply by changing our minds. You know, we've held to one of my best friends. When she was 13 years old, she was the first granddaughter. And granddad thought, even though she was a girl, he'd keep up with the tradition of when the grandkids were 13, he'd take them to the slaughterhouse and show them how that went. And Clark came back a vegetarian. And was a vegetarian for the next 9 years. Until she was 22, just a couple years ago, when I met her for dinner and she ordered a burger and I liked to fell out into the floor. And she said, well, I've changed my mind now. That's a drastic change for a person to go from eating no meat to meat. And vice versa. When she first gave it up, I remember her mother shoved black beans and different things down her throat all the time because she was going to get that protein one way or the other, even if she didn't want her meat. And so by changing our mind and our perceived notions, we can drastically change our lives and change our focus. Sometimes that's something we have to do because of medical issues. We may have to change the way we act, what we do. We may have to get more active. And so changing our mind involves a major change of life for us. And so there's this idea in Scripture about renewing our minds, about letting it refresh us, if you will. The truth of God's Word is the most powerful source we have to change our mind for the positive in this world. You won't find anything else more positive to change our mind than the Bible. Because anything we find here on this earth is temporary and not perfect, like that video Marvin and I looked at this afternoon. But we have to choose what we're going to be influenced by. I'll be the first to admit, it was the first video, and it was 3.5 minutes, and that's why I chose it. We choose what we're influenced by. We make those decisions. And so we need to consider God's Word. Over in the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer says in chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 4, he says, for in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put Him to open shame. Christians are described, unfortunately, sometimes as the ones who were once enlightened. Hebrew writer here is talking about people that have fallen away and describing them as once enlightened. So we make the choices whether we renew our minds with the Word of God, and that's a continual idea we have to put in our heads after we obey the gospel. It's not we obey the gospel and it's done, it's set, we're fine. We're challenged to continually renew our mind and renew our self and our beliefs. And so that's just what I want to talk about for a few moments this morning. Let's first start with the idea of being conformed versus being transformed that we find in Romans chapter 12. If the Christian does not study, does not grow, does not practice what he's learning, or she, then what happens is gradually, instead of being transformed by the Word of God, we conform to the world. The problems that we're facing today in our society is because we haven't said anything about it. We've kept our mouths silent. We've not stood firm on these issues. And so they've slowly crept in. Ladies and gentlemen, the issues we're facing today are not new issues. They may seem to be, but if you go back through history, you'll find our issues that we face in this country and as God's people throughout history. It's just people stand up and stomped it out. Made it go back into a hidden corner. And when that stops, what you have is then society conforms to it. If no one is standing up, if no one is talking about it, if no one's growing and studying, then the opposite is conforming to it. Becoming like it. Transformation, though, requires a conscious effort and a conscientious decision on our part that produces a change within us to transform ourselves. We normally use that word in today's society on someone who's lost a lot of weight or has become really healthy. You know, they were all skin and bones, and maybe they become muscular, or they were really heavy set, and they've become skinnier. And we say, you've transformed yourself. It's a true statement, because they've made a change that has produced something different. That's the idea of transforming. It is a fact that we find in the Bible, and if you want to put down a passage to go with it, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, we won't read it. But it is a fact that conformity to the world is the path of least resistance. It's the easiest thing to do is just to conform. You know, when you talk about businesses merging, when you talk about companies being bought out, what often people will tell you is you start nitpicking at it and say, well, we used to do it this way. Well, we used to do it this way. Well, we used to do it this way. And what you'll eventually be told at some point by somebody is if you don't conform to the new way, you can leave. You either conform or you get out. That's the easiest thing you can do is conform. Is to be like we want you to. The easiest thing in life, ladies and gentlemen, brethren, is to conform to what other people want us to do. Is to give in to it. Many Christians today are probably more conformed to the world than we realize and are willing to admit. It's very important that each of us set our mind on a goal of being transformed by the Lord's Word into His way in all aspects of our life. We let things rule us. At work, what rules you? Your boss, right? Your boss and the rules that you have to follow. The right answer, at work, what rules you? Ought to be the Lord. In everything we do, He ought to be number one. The second point I want to make in this is transformation is the result of a renewed mind. We're talking about renewing our minds this evening. Transformation is the result that you get from that renewed mind. In order for a Christian to truly live godly in this world, there must be an inward change of heart. Someone once said, if you wanted to make an equation of it, and I like in my math, I like equations. The mind is equal to your intellect plus your emotions plus your will. That's what the mind is equal to. Is your intellect what you know, where you get it from, plus your emotions, how you feel and respond to things, plus your will, what rules you, what governs you. Let me tell you, if we're renewing our mind, if we're being transformed in the sight of God, then our intellect comes from Him. Our emotions, we learn from Him. You know, we learn emotions. Some people are just naturally emotional. Some people are naturally attuned to certain emotions. I'll be the first to admit that I'm one of those people. That I naturally have different emotions. But emotions can be learned. They can be taught. But here's where it really starts for us in our mind, renewing our mind, is whose will is in control? Is it my will? Is it the will of my spouse? Is it the will of my children? You know, sometimes today we give our children so much that I think the children are the ones ruling the life. Or is it God? Whose will is what I'm putting in control? Because that determines what my mind is. I saw that somewhere and I liked it. Because each one of these have to be put under the influence of God if we're going to renew our mind and be transformed by it. God has to be in control of all of this if we want to live a transformed life, as was the phrase a long time ago. The idea of spirituality simply means spiritually minded, as opposed to being carnally minded or worldly minded. And that has to be our ultimate goal. Let's look at a few passages throughout Scripture. Let's start in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 5 and going down through 11. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For if the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those of you who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you who are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong in Him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Who's reigning in our life? What Spirit? We're talking on Wednesday night. This past Wednesday night, we talked about the Spirit of man and the Spirit of God. Who knows the things of man? The Spirit of man. Who knows the things of God? The Spirit of God. What are we putting in control? Over in Ephesians chapter 4, let's go right after where I normally go, verse 16, and let's start at verse 17. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on your new self, which is the likeness of God, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. We're to be putting on our old self, putting aside that old man, renewing our mind to who this new person is, and that is someone who is striving to be like God, striving to be like Christ. And if you want another passage to put down, you can put down 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, talking about the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all that's in the world. We need to be true to God. A true Christian no longer views things and appraises them as according to the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Things are not seen in the mindset of how it is relating to the flesh. You know, before we became a Christian, that's how we valued everything. Is this going to be valuable to me in the flesh? As a Christian, we're to value everything as, is it going to be valuable to me as a child of God? And when we start using the old standard, we conform to the old man, we conform to the world. That's the difference in being conformed and transformed. Is when we use the old standard on how are things going to go for me financially, personally, family-wise, in lieu of how's this going to affect me as a child of God, we conform to our old self. And so the result that you then have is proving, if you remember back in Romans chapter 12, why we're supposed to be involved in this, is that we're to prove the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect, His will. To prove is something to test or to scrutinize, if you will, to see if something is genuine or worthy. Those of you who've worked in factories, you have quality control for a reason. That hopefully it'll find bad batches before it gets to the place you're sending it. Because what happens when you send off a shipment and the parts all test bad? If they get several out of that batch that test bad, guess what? They're going to throw out the whole batch and then they're going to make you send it to them for free because you messed up that batch. That's what testing something is, to see if it's worthy or genuine or good enough to meet the test. You know, if you think take anything into an appraiser wanting it to be an antique, they're going to test it to see if it's truly from that time period or if it's a replica. Because that's going to determine the worth, the value of it. A carnally minded person is going to be a poor judge between right and wrong. Someone who is still thinking as the world is not going to be able to decide what is a proper action. Ephesians chapter 5 shows us that. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 7 through 10. Therefore do not be partakers with them. Talking about those outside, those who are former. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Drop down to verse 17. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Excuse me. The one who set their minds on the world, who sets their mind on lust, is not going to be able to determine what is good, what is proper, what is fitting for a Christian. Rather, let's think about some of these other passages. Let's start in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where we were Wednesday night. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it yet. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For there is jealousy and strife among you. Are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? What's the problem here that we talked about? They're acting like who? The Gentiles. They're acting like people outside the body of Christ. They're not acting as Christians and growing in the way they should. And so there's a problem. They're carnally minded. Look at what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 11. Concerning Him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. See, brethren, if we're not growing, if we're not transforming our minds, If we're not turning this over to God, that we might renew ourselves, we're not able to discern what is good and evil. That standard comes from God. The standard that we should be using to determine what is right and what is wrong comes from God. And so if He's not where our mind is, then we cannot rightly judge. Let me ask you, if you wanted someone to determine, I'll use something similar from my past. When I was in the band, they would have band competitions. And they'd sit the judges up in the press box. And each judge would have a different role. You'd have your visual performance judge, you'd have your musical performance judge, you'd have your visual effects judge, you'd have, I forget the word for it, but it went, how does the visuals and the music work together? You'd have your drum major judge, you'd have your percussion judge, you'd have your field commander judge. Then you'd have your technical music judge and your soloist judge. And yes, if you thought band was just something simple, no, they go all out of these competitions. The reason I'm saying that is, anyone in here ever been a drum major? I didn't figure. I have. How many of you would be good at judging drum majors? How many of you could accurately judge a drum major's competition to figure out who's the best drum major? How many of you could judge a library grant other than Linda Frazier and me? How many of you? Why can we judge that? Because of our background, we know what to look for, right? So if we're going to judge what's good and wrong, how are we going to do it unless we're getting the standard from God? Unless we have the proper standard, our judging's worthless. A person who's been transformed by the renewing of their mind is not only able to better understand God's will, but they can properly appraise it, the value of it, the excellency of it. Look in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. Let's pick up 17, because that's the beginning of the passage. 17 through 20, but if you bear the name Jew and rely upon the law and boast in God and know His will and approve these things that are essential, being instructed out of the law, and you are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and of truth, keep going. You therefore who teach one another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one not steal, do you not steal? Do you steal? What he's going through here is, do you do the things that you're supposed to be teaching against or for? Who makes the best teachers? Why do we not hire music majors to teach chemistry in public schools? Why do we not hire engineering majors to teach art class? Because their background does not meet what we need, right? If we want to understand God's will, then we need to be following it. If we want to renew our mind, then we need to use Him as our standard. Philippians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul says, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. The person who has a renewed mind learns a lot by actual experience in the daily living of God's truth. I've used libraries a lot today, so just keep permitting me, if you will, because it ties in well with these lessons, I think, or at least my experience does. One of our directors, who we hired when I was out in West Tennessee, I came to us from the school system, and she was solely hired because she knew how to fundraise money and that library needed money. They'd done the same thing about 45 minutes west, and it was a train wreck. Because the person knew nothing about libraries. This one, though, dove right in and decided that even though she didn't know much about libraries, she would learn it. And by hands-on experience and changing her intellect to that, her emotions to what librarians did, and putting her will in what was needed for the library, she changed her mind, she transformed it, and has become a very good director for public libraries and a very good advocate for it. It's the same thing for us as Christians. That if we renew our mind by our experience in the daily living of God's truth, we'll grow properly. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word that you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. You see, if you have experienced that, if you have tasted that, then long for it and grow in it. The Christian's life is a demonstration of God's truth. And it is proof that God works in our lives today still. Just a couple concluding thoughts on the lesson jurors. The renewal of the Christian's mind is not a here today, gone tomorrow issue. The renewing of one's mind is not, I need to do it for the next 5 years and then I'm done. The renewing of one's mind is a continual yet daily process. Let me tell you, transformation is not easy. We are six or 7 weeks away from the new year. What happens on January 1st? Most people make New Year's resolutions. Number one resolution for many years has been to eat healthier, to exercise more, and to lose weight. And I have a good friend who lives down in Memphis who loves kale. She eats kale salads, I don't know, several days a week. She hates the month of January because kale is a shortage at her grocery store. She loves February because they bought so much to compensate for it that there's plenty there because people have given it up by February. And about January the 5th, she'll make her annual Facebook post about there's a kale shortage. And then about February, she'll make the one showing all the pictures of it because everyone's given it up. Because transformations are not easy. And what did we say earlier? The path of least resistance is to conform. The reason most diets are broken very quickly, it's because the person just gives up trying. The problem is, if we stay in our comfort zone, then we'll also give up renewing our mind. If we're not willing to change ourselves and grow, then we're going to be breaking that as well, and we're going to be conforming instead of transforming. What we're truly after is to have the mind of Christ. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to all strive to truly have our hearts set with our treasure in heaven. We need to truly be wanting our mind, and if you will, that of course, as you know, is our heart, be ruled by God in these different aspects. Jesus says in that Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart may be also. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul says, set your mind on things above, not things on the earth. We all have a duty to transform our minds. Let me ask you. I don't think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but I haven't had a whole lot of sleep since then, so forgive me if I have. Back in March of this year, I issued a challenge to this congregation. I told you to go home, take out a piece of paper, and write down everyone's name here. And then out beside it, put down one thing you learned from that person from a private conversation or a meal shared with that person. Not something someone else has told you, not something your spouse has told you, not something they revealed in an invitation or a sermon. And then I told you you had till the end of the year to fill in your blanks. How many of you filled in yours? Many of you have completed that list. The reason I ask that is, there's been several challenges throughout this year. You know, last year we did challenges around reading certain books of the Bible in a short period of time. This year has been more things that we do with each other and learning about each other. And who knows what next year will be. I promise I won't make you wear a hat in here or something, you know. Where are we today in regards to January 1st of this year? Are we in the same boat? Have we progressed further? Or have we regressed? Day by day we have the opportunity and the obligation to renew our mind by centering it upon things of God. And I know for myself this year's not been good in some ways. I've not done things I should this year. The thing is, I've still got, what, 6-7 weeks left to maybe cross off some things I wanted to do at the beginning of this year in regards to my spiritual life. Are we renewing our minds? Or are we sticking in the same boat? Growth only occurs one of two ways. The other one leads to decay, which leads to rotting, which leads to dying. Or as we put it in this lesson, conforming to the world. What's your state this evening? Have you been obedient to Him? Do you need to obey His gospel? Do you need to come back to Him after time away? Do you need prayers? Do you need encouragement? Whatever your case may be, all you have to do is ask. I once was told there's no harm in asking. No matter what our past has been, the best thing we need to do is be right with God. And if we're renewing our mind, we need to know more about Him. We need to turn our feelings over to Him. But we need to first and foremost put His will as our priority. And so if you're here this evening and we can help you in any way, won't you come and let us know as we stand and as we sing the song that's been selected.